Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin County Medical Center, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin County Medical Center, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. We're talking, among other things, with Dr. David Hilden as his guest, summertime emergencies. Good morning, by the way. Good to see you
again. Good morning. Good to see you, Denny. It's been a while.
We are at both different ends of... I was still in the lower 48, and you were way up there.
I was way up in Alaska. I think you and I we're doing our share to support the national parks, it sounds like.
I think you're right.
I went to a couple. You went to more than a couple.
Yeah, it was great. But the temp was not as hot there in Alaska, was it?
No. I had beautiful weather except for a couple days of rain. And as I was telling you off the air, it's just beautiful state, wide open. Got a little bit of seasickness on the ocean, but you can tell. The waves are bigger in the Gulf of Alaska than they are on Lake Harriet.
Yes.
That's what I've determined.
You did your research and you're correct.
I had a great trip, but it's good to have you back. Thanks to Steve Thompson for helping us out.
Yeah, and you probably could have used an ER doc some help.
I could have. Oh, my goodness. I could have, but I'm glad everybody made it back. You made it back okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about emergencies with somebody who knows a lot more about it than I do. Today on the show, we're going to talk about summertime emergencies, a little bit about emergency care. It's going to be a great show. And so I hope everybody's having a good summer and a safe summer. To help us out today, I've got Dr. Nicholas Simpson. Nick is an emergency physician at HCMC. And but he's more than that. Not that that isn't enough.
Yeah.
But he has additional training in pre-hospital care. We'll ask him what the heck's pre-hospital care. Because he also did a fellowship in emergency medical services. And so that means he's a board certified physician, the guy you might come to see when you're in the emergency room. But he's also helps direct our emergency medical services program, which is the ambulances and the choppers and all that stuff before you get to the hospital. So he knows a great deal about not only the whole continuum of care in emergencies, ranging from the moment that paramedic shows up at your door to what happens when you, how you get transported to the hospitals, what happens when you get in. And so he's just a wealth of information on that. Nick is also an assistant professor of emergency medicine at the University of Minnesota Medical School. Nick, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Let's tell us a little bit more about yourself. You told me you're from the East Coast. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Virginia, the state of Virginia, not Virginia, Minnesota.
Not Virginia, Minnesota.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's probably some good folks up in Virginia, Minnesota listening.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Virginia, did my college and medical school there, and then came out here for a residency at HCMC and fell in love with the state, the city, the practice of medicine here, and we've been here ever since.
What college? Were you at UVA? Were you at?
Yeah, so my undergraduate was at James Madison University in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and then my medical school was at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville.
For people who aren't maybe quite as familiar with higher education and in medical care, the University of Virginia is one of the best universities in the country. So apparently you're a pretty smart guy. Or did you cheat your way in? Or pretty smart guy here. And then you did your residency. So tell people, what does that mean? You did your residency in emergency medicine, and then you did a fellowship in emergency medical services. What's the difference?
Yeah, so residency is the secondary, the postgraduate training after you've got your medical degree. And that was at Hennepin County Medical Center in emergency medicine, where you learn the practical hands-on aspects of taking care of everything from ankle sprains to cardiac arrests and everything in between. And then the fellowship is additional training after that to further subspecialize. And as of a couple years ago, EMS or pre-hospital emergency care is now also board certified. So that allowed me to be board certified in both emergency medicine and emergency medical services.
And the stuff that is, you're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, I am.
And now you're on staff at the emergency department. We've spent many years on the show, and I go on and on and on about what the range of services that we offer at HCMC, and people maybe sometimes don't know that we have a stroke center and that we have clinics all over the place. We have, in the Western Metro, so we're a complete system of care. But one thing they often do know is that we're a trauma center, and we were Minnesota's first level one trauma center. We are also a pediatric level one trauma center. There are other level one trauma centers now in town, but I have a soft spot in my heart for this one. I know people know that. They see our ambulances, but I want to get people inside that a little bit more. And so if you could start us out with what, Nick, is a level one trauma center? What does that mean?
Sure. Yeah. So there's different levels of trauma center, and level one is the top, or the most equipped to deal with all comers in trauma. And that means that we have, not only do we have all the services, the neurosurgeons, the orthopedists, the general surgeons, the emergency physicians, everyone who you might need for traumatic injury on call 24/7, 365. In addition to that, the level one trauma centers also engage in education and community action, as well as training of physicians. And so there's a lot more that level ones are involved in addition to just the care of the trauma patients. It's also a community involvement.
Yeah, and as an internal medicine doctor like me, when I admit somebody into the hospital who doesn't have maybe the biggest problem was their trauma, because we're a level one trauma center, we don't miss stuff very often. And so what that means is that we get our trauma team involved on everything from the big stuff. You get in a big car accident and you have some broken things, all the way down to if you just fell down the stairs and you hurt your head or something. Our trauma team is there because they're specially trained to recognize insults to the body, and to maybe there's a portion of your body that was injured that isn't so obvious. And so we do exams on people in a very comprehensive way. So it's really really a great service to the community. So when you call, maybe you can now, let's switch a little bit to the pre-hospital thing. When sure. I call 911, how does that all get done? How does it get routed? How do they know, kind of talk us through what happens?
Yeah. So it's actually a very elaborate system. And so when somebody calls 911, that call will usually go to an answering point. And that is initially triaged into whether the person needs fire, police, EMS, or all three. And then that'll go to a secondary answering point where those specific agencies dispatch their units. And so that all happens within seconds to minutes, and things occur very quickly. Once those units get dispatched, whether it's fire, police, EMS, or all three, they come to your house or your location, wherever you might be, and start your care. And there's different levels of responders. There are first responders that can do the initial assessment and stabilization of patients. And then there's EMTs, EMT basics, that are very common throughout the state, as well as a lot of our firefighters in the city are EMT basic. And they can do some additional cares and additional treatments. And then the paramedics is the sort of ultimate level of pre-hospital care. And they can do almost everything we can do in the emergency department out there, what we call in the field, or basically outside the walls of the hospital.
So those ambulance rigs we see driving around, whether it be our HCMC rigs in here in the Western Metro or some of the other services around town, I've been in one of those. It looks like a mobile intensive care unit.
It really is. It really is. And I mean, I love to say that the paramedics, we have great paramedics here in the Twin Cities, and I'm sure the rest of the state as well. And the paramedics they're providing really critical care in people's homes and in the streets. And they're really critical care clinicians that are providing a lot of that care before we get to the hospital and have those additional resources.
I bet that ambulance costs a couple bucks.
It's not cheap, I'll tell you that.
I think I might pick one up. I bet it'll cost a little more than my Mini Cooper.
And your house.
And my house. No, that's probably not to exaggerate too much, I'll bet you one of those things costs like a small house.
It probably does.
That's about there. Yeah.
We're going to talk much more to Dr. Nick Simpson about emergency, summertime emergencies. We'll get into a few things about what he's actually seen, some of the things to help keep you safe over the summer, and we will do that after the break.
Yeah, now we want to invite our listeners by phone or by text, and you can help me out with the Twitter deal, but our phone number is 651-989-9226. A line is open if you want to use it. Again, we're talking, among other things, about summertime emergencies, or send us a text, 81807. And if you're on Twitter...
And if you're on Twitter, it's Dr. David Hilden. You can put the hashtag Healthy Matters, and we can answer your tweets. You know, I don't tweet as much as some public figures in the country, but I do have a Twitter account, and I'm getting old, but I've figured out how to use it.
Well, that's good.
Sort of.
And you can teach me.
So go ahead and send a tweet. My... what's the name? It's like the CB radio days. My handle?
Your,
my name?
I guess you're...
The at thing. You know, yeah. When you have your at symbol. I'm at Dr. David Hilden, Dr. David Hilden. And if you put the hashtag Healthy Matters, we'll be trending before you know it.
Outstanding. All right. We'll take this break. Be right back again. You can call us or text us as well here on the show. Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. We'll be right back on CCO. In the Twin Cities, 69 degrees. We'll probably see some shower activity today and again overnight tonight. 86 the high today. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. We're talking, among other things, about summertime emergencies. And here again is Dr. David Hilden.
Thank you, Danny. We're talking with Dr. Nick Simpson from the emergency department at HCMC. Before we get into specific kind of summertime emergencies and things you're seeing, a little bit more about the whole EMS system. We talked a little bit about, and this kind of is fascinating to me because I got to, when I was in medical school, I got to ride on a helicopter as part of my rotation. I thought it was so cool. I had absolutely nothing to do with the care, but they had an empty spot or something like that. And it was awesome. We landed on the roof of a hospital in greater Minnesota. I think it was in New Prague. And we brought a patient in who was in labor or something like that. Anyway, so I'm fascinated by the helicopters. And in the past year, I think it was a year or so ago, the roof of HCMC got remodeled. The roof did. And they put a state-of-the-art helistop up there. And let's talk a little bit about when you get airlifted in. One of the text messengers that is on one of our lines says, why do they use a helicopter in a city like Minneapolis? I'm not sure exactly what they're after that, but could you talk a little bit about air transport and when you get brought in by a helicopter and how it lands and what happens and all that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think to address the question here briefly, I suppose what they're asking is why would you use that amount of resources in a condensed area like this.
Right, you could drive in. That
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
A thing. Yeah.
And sometimes that is the case. The helicopter gets used most typically to bring patients in from the outstate, as far as Fargo, Duluth, places where it would take hours and hours to drive by ambulance. And in cases where minutes really do matter, if somebody's having a big heart attack or is really sick from a car accident, those are the times when those minutes are actually worth that expense and that level of transportation. So those are the times that we use a helicopter. And so if we know that somebody has a bad car accident and they're in rural Minnesota and there are no equipped trauma centers nearby, there are times where a helicopter will go straight to the scene of an accident if things look like they warrant that.
You mean that? I never thought of that. They might actually go land on a highway or something?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great coordination between law enforcement and EMS as well as fire in the outstate to make that call and call for that helicopter if the crash looks bad.
And we have not one, but two places for them to land right here in downtown Minneapolis.
We do. We do. Yeah. And the one that we use most commonly now is our newest one, and that's directly above the emergency department. So that's sort of like having an attached garage to your house. You don't have to cross the street or really go outside. Once you land the helicopter, you get into the elevator and the doors open up basically straight in the emergency department. And that is a tremendous asset and really helps shave minutes off in these cases where minutes do matter.
And the other one was on the roof, or still is, on the roof of the parking ramp, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's still quite close, but it does add a few minutes to the transport.
Yeah, it's super cool. I've stood up on the helistop, the new one. It's bright red. It's got the big, white plus sign in the middle. I mean, like they have, and it is so state of the art, and it's so it was cool. And I'm afraid of heights, so I'm glad I don't have to be up there too much. Is that how you get to work?
It's not how I get.
Is
to
that
work.
How is that how the emergency department gets to work? You land up there, and then you get to. So you sounds like a attached garage. That's awesome. Before we move on from this, because I do want to get to some texts and some phone calls and the like. But here is a text, and I get this question a lot. It's about training and how do you get into what you do. Now, Dr. Simpson is a doctor. He went to medical school and went to emergency department training. But a question I do get a lot, and here is a text message that's asking that very question. Where should a person go? Or who should they contact if they would like to become an EMT, an emergency medical technician? Oh. In other words, what kind of training or what's the career path for people?
Yeah, exactly. So I think first, just to differentiate the different levels. So first responder is the most attainable, I guess, and that's about 40 hours of training, and that tends to happen over sometimes a week, usually a couple weeks, and that. Is CPR certification, and that's probably the easiest to find because it's the most common. A lot of people have that.
That's a first responder.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And so from that, the EMT basic is the next level up from there, and that's about 120 to 150 hours, and that's usually over about 6 months to get that level of training. And as far as contacts go, I would start with local EMTs in your area and ask where they went. A lot of these programs are local, and that includes the paramedic, which is the sort of top level of EMT. They're called EMT paramedics, and that's over 1,200 hours of training, and that's usually a couple years of training.
So that's much more extensive. A paramedic is much more extensive than an EMT, which is more extensive than a first responder. Is that right?
It is. It is. And each one of those allows them to expand their scope of practice, allows them to expand what they can, are prepared, and allowed to do out in the field.
Awesome. And we provide any of that at Hennepin?
We do. We do. So I'm actually the medical director of the paramedic training program at HCMC as well. And so I help to oversee and participate in a lot of that training for the paramedics within our hospital.
What I'd like to do, and I'm just thinking aloud here along with all of you, which I sometimes do on a Sunday morning, I would like to put a post on the website. We have a website associated with the show. It's a blog called My Healthy Matters. You simply put the word my in front of Healthy Matters. MyHealthyMatters.org. Maybe I'll put something up there about EMS training, and maybe I could ask Dr. Simpson to help me out with that, and I'll put a picture of his smiling face on there if he's willing.
For
so
sure.
Maybe you want to check out My Healthy Matters in this coming week, and I can put more information about the training programs because it is a question that comes up several times a year. We're going to get – I've been kind of chatty today, but we're going to get into things like injuries and water safety and fire safety. We're going to do much of that after the break. We're going to get to your texts and calls, but maybe we could take Kathy's call.
Yeah, Kathy's been waiting. Kathy's calling from Becker. Kathy, do you have a question for the our doctors?
I just had two things. I was in a bad car accident in 98, and so they helicoptered me to North Memorial. I actually was – trying to sign to my husband at the accident scene to get something out of the truck. So it's kind of funny. Then later, I thought it was pretty funny, but they had an interpreter for the deaf there once I got to North, and I could not understand what he was saying, so I just motioned for a pen. I just said, I'm not deaf. I just need, you know, I've got all this blood that I can't talk. So I just wanted to say how on top of it they are. They're very, very observant. And then the other thing, as far as being thorough in your assessments, I had kind of a sad experience with that same accident where they, I guess, were being economic, and with the type of impact I had, they only scanned the right side of my face and fixed my jaw on that side. And I walked around for 2 years with my jaw on the left side jammed into my brain cavity by an inch, and they were still trying to increase my range of motion the whole time. So when they finally did the other, you know, the full scan, I had to have brain surgery, fix a couple of brain seals, take bone fragments out and put a metal shield in there. And then because the scar tissue started causing seizures, so it's kind of a domino effect.
Kathy, we're almost out of time for this break.
Yeah.
Did you have a question at the...
No, I just wanted to share the story about, you know, thoroughness and how observant people are. I thought that was pretty neat to have the interpreter there.
Right. Yeah, Kathy, sounds like you had a heck of a deal.
Yeah, I guess.
She had a heck of a deal. And good example that Kathy brings up about how you want a thorough trauma-trained person to take care of you when you've had things like an accident.
Yeah, exactly.
We are, Kathy, thank you for your call and for listening from up there in Becker, Minnesota. Yeah.
We have to take our usual break. We have another half hour of the show to go, though if you want to call in your question for the doctors or send a text, here's our phone number, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. If you want to send us a text, you can do that too. We've got those to pick up on. That number is 81807. 81807 for your text messages. After this break, we'll have more of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. In the Twin Cities, our current temperature reading 69 degrees, some showers on the way, and 86.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. If you want to get involved in the show, a couple of ways to do it. By phone, 651-989-9226. Or send us a text, 81807. Dr. Hilden will tell you how to send a tweet as well. And for those maybe joining the show a little bit late, who did you bring with you?
Denny, thanks a lot. Good morning, everybody. Happy summer to you. I have Dr. Nick Simpson, an emergency physician at HCMC, and the and we're talking about summertime emergencies, and we've had such a good conversation. We haven't talked about the specific things I want to talk about, like staying safe when you're on your bikes and with your kids, so we're going to do that in the second half of the show. We've talked a lot about our emergency medical services department, and I want to ask him just a little bit, because there's a lot of events going on in the Twin Cities. Many of you maybe participated or know that the Lifetime Triathlon was yesterday. Well, Dr. Simpson was the doctor on for that. The X Games are coming to the Twin Cities. If you don't know about that, it's a cool thing happening down at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's a huge event, worldwide event of kind of extreme sports. And, well, heck, we're part of that as well. The emergency department at HCMC is going to be a big part of providing medical care there. So if we can do it for all these athletes, they can do it for you as well at the HCMC's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. So I'm going to get back to Dr. Simpson in just a moment. I do want to give you a little announcement about if you're in downtown Minneapolis this coming Thursday. I'm going to be with my colleague, Dr. Jane Hess, at the Downtown Farmers Market. I do it usually every year. Well, my day is this Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to I'll be down at the Downtown Farmers Market, and I'd love to meet you. So if you want, it's right at the Government Center on the south plaza there, that grassy area at the Hennepin County Government Center on 7th Street. Is that 7th? Is it 6th? Oh, well, you know, the big HCMC. It's on 7th, yeah. At the Downtown Farmers Market is this coming Thursday, 11 to 1. Stop by. I'll see you. There's fruits and vegetable stands and
it's about a block from here.
And me.
Yeah.
So there you go. Oh, I don't know if I'm a fruit or a vegetable, but I'm going to be down there at the HCMC booth on the South Plaza of the Government Center this Thursday. Hey, before we get into a couple things about specific summertime injuries, just a couple of texts here. Somebody just texted me listening from Pittsburgh. Whoever's listening in Pittsburgh, PA, thanks for listening to the show. Here's another texter that says, I'm turning 55 soon, and I'm looking to do some good with my life. I'm in great shape, and I have a college degree. Am I too old to be a paramedic?
I say absolutely not. I think it's any time is a great time to get into the field of medicine, emergency medicine. And, you know, it's a couple years typically as a program. Sometimes people get their associate's degree as part of that. But no, absolutely not. You can certainly get involved.
I'd be happy to have you as a 55-year-old trained emergency responder to come help me out. Here's another texter that says, and somebody called with a similar question who didn't want to be on the air but called. It says, what things can a patient or assistant do before the EMT arrives? Like, should you sit up after a heart attack, and what shouldn't you do? Somebody else said, you know, what kind of information might a paramedic need to know when they arrive?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. As I think one of the other listeners pointed out, having your house well marked and not having excessively decorative numbers on the house, ones that are clear and easy to read, will help the crews find your house. And then once there, if you know they're coming and you're able to have somebody unlock the door and let them in, that sometimes can be an impediment to care as well.
Never thought about that, just getting in the place.
Yeah, that's sometimes a challenge. And then as far as information they like to have ready, it's the same as your doctor or a new doctor, emergency doctor would like to have, which is any medicines you take, the doses, any allergies to medicines. And that can be told to them, or if you have the medicines available, you can just give them to the crews and they'll take them to the hospital with you.
I like that idea about identifying your house. Heck, the pizza delivery guy can barely find my house. I don't know how the paramedics are going to when I'm passed out from a heat stroke. Okay, let's talk a little bit now about some specific summertime things. I want to start out with kind of trauma safety. There was another article on one of the news sites this morning about a motorcycle accident, and I would just mention that the X Games are happening. What are you seeing, or what are some tips we could give people for summertime safety with regard to like bikes and motorcycles and the like? Maybe start out with that.
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest preventable injury that everybody is seeing this year and every year is people not wearing a helmet when they're on their bike or motorcycle, and that's it's an easy thing, but it's something that not enough people do, and a minor or moderate fall wearing a helmet might not be a big deal, whereas without a helmet, if you crack your head on the pavement, you might have a significant concussion or worse, and so it's something I wish more kids and adults wore their helmets when they're out riding.
Yeah, it's amazing how I've seen a little better in Minneapolis. I was in Los Angeles where my daughter lives and goes to school, and everybody's on their bike around her college campus. I didn't see a single helmet. I don't think I saw one. And here in Minnesota, I'm seeing a little bit better. On motorcycles, that shocks me when I see somebody on a motorcycle with that one, because surviving a motorcycle accident without a helmet is not as likely.
I totally agree. And where I grew up in Virginia, it was a law to wear a helmet to ride. And quite a while ago here, that law
changed.
That changed
some years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As an ER doc, I would love to see every motorcyclist wear their helmet, because I've seen people that are injured in a motorcycle accident with a helmet that maybe break some bones, but do okay. Whereas some of those same types of injuries without a helmet are have devastating injuries, and so I really encourage everybody to do that.
Yeah, but you've seen the worst that could what could happen with that. I have several friends, not just one, several who have ride bicycles and have had head injuries, some of varying degrees of severity. I had one guy, he's actually a doctor at Hennepin, my friend Aaron Rutzik. He's a biker, and he's off in British Columbia or somewhere mountain biking. And he said he wiped out on his bike once, and he was sliding across the pavement on his head. And he says during that 1 to 2 second accident, he remembers thinking, holy cow, I'm using my bike helmet right now, as his head was bouncing off the pavement. And well, he's still a doctor today. He's still seeing patients, and that bike helmet probably prevented some real serious injury.
There you go.
So wear your helmet. That'd be a good one. There's another texter. Okay, so that's one bit of bike safety. And maybe the number one thing you can take out of this is for sure, wear your helmet when you're on your bike or your motorcycle. There's another texter that came in way early in the show about bugs, literally about bug baits. I wanted, so this is a totally different thing, but it's a summertime thing, mosquitoes and the like. And here's someone who says, my young adult daughter has increasing difficulty with mosquito bites, swelling and becoming inflamed. What's up with that? Do you see people, that get bug bites, bee stings, things like that in the summertime?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially as people are getting out more, getting out to the cabins, out to the lakes. Yeah, we see a lot of those things. And as she mentioned, it is totally common for someone who has a minor allergic reaction after repeated exposures to have a more severe reaction as those exposures increase, and the body's sort of innate immune response to that can build up and become more severe, and so it's something we see. And Benadryl is always the first step, and if there's any concern about breathing or if somebody's vomiting or confused, by all means, call 911 or go straight to the hospital.
Right. If you're not breathing or your throat's, having trouble swallowing or breathing, for sure go into – that's an allergic reaction. I can get bit by mosquitoes and probably have for the last 50 years in this state, and hardly anything happens. They either don't bite me or I don't get bugs. Then my kid and my wife, they get covered with welts. I'm not talking emergency anaphylaxis, not allergic reactions, but just some people just really swell up a lot more. And it's more of a nuisance than anything else for them. So thank you to that texter. A little Benadryl might help with the itching. Let's talk about a couple other things. You said you were – do we have time? Oh, we have a break coming up.
I'll tell you what. Let's do that.
I want to talk about heat injuries and heat stroke. He was the – Dr. Simpson was out at the triathlon yesterday caring for people there. I want to talk about heat type of injuries next.
Let's do that. We'll take this break. We have more show to come. If you want to get involved, you can do it either by phone. Call us at 651-989-9226. Or if you prefer to send a text, and we'll pick up on those as well. That number, that text number, is 81807, 81807. We're heading toward 86 degrees for a high today. Scattered showers for the late afternoon. We may have some this morning, too, and maybe overnight as well. Could be heavy rain overnight tonight. As I said, daytime high 86 today, 87 tomorrow. Right now on CCO, temperature reading at 70. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. Among other things, we're talking about summertime emergencies. And here once again is Dr. David Hilden.
I do want to read this text message. It's, sure. I'll kind of paraphrase it a little bit. We were talking about helmet safety and a nurse wrote, good point. This was in response to our discussion about wearing your helmet. And this person is a nurse, and she talks about, if you don't wear your helmet and you ride a motorcycle, one of the conversations that they are sometimes having is whether or not you're going to be an organ donor. And what she means, or he means by that, is that it is very dangerous to ride a motorcycle without a helmet. And the sad fact of that is, not to put too fine a point on it, but we want to give proper information. The sad fact of it is that sometimes motorcycle accidents are more likely to result in actually your own death if you don't wear a helmet. So I would strongly suggest wearing your helmet. Okay, now I want to talk about heat injuries. You were at the triathlon yesterday. How'd it go? You weren't running it.
I was not running it.
You ever done one?
I have been a spectator.
I've never done one. As listeners know, I run marathons and the like, and in moments of insanity, I sign up for a marathon, and then for about 2 years, I wonder why I signed up. I've never done a triathlon, but I'm amazed at those athletes.
Oh, so, it looks like a ton of fun. They swim.
At least at the beginning of it, they all looks like fun. Yeah, during the middle of it, it doesn't look like fun.
But it looked like a great time. Thankfully, the weather held out. It wasn't excessively hot. It got a little warm towards the end of the day, but... it was good, but certainly heat injury was on our mind during this.
So how does someone, I guess there's the whole continuum between highly conditioned athletes, and then there's like just normal people who are out working, maybe, if you're working outside or you're gardening, heat injuries can happen to anybody.
Oh, they absolutely can. And in fact, it's so prevalent that the American College of Sports Medicine has developed a system based on something called the wet globe bulb temperature, which is a...
Say what?
It's kind of a complex way to measure temperature and sunlight, and it's more than just the heat index. It's more than just the ambient temperature to really tell how much heat stress an athlete or anybody is going to experience outside. And so there's a flag system that the races use about whether green things are going to be fine or we expect them to be fine versus all the way up to black, which is the event probably should be canceled due to the risk.
So when people are out and about in the heat, is it all just about drinking water? Is that how you stay safe?
That's certainly part of it, especially as heat and humidity rise. Just getting out of the heat, out of the direct sun is really going to be important because – as your body gets hotter, everybody starts to sweat, and heat injury, signs of heat exhaustion, and then ultimately heat stroke is a continuum. And so you get tired, you get sweaty. Some people develop some nausea and some vomiting, can get muscle cramps, fatigue, and weakness. And then as things progress, I think the biggest and most concerning thing is when people start to get confused paramedics and emergency responders will talk about as altered mental status. That's a huge concerning feature.
I often tell people in the summer, look out for each other on hot spells. Look out for your neighbor, maybe the elderly person who doesn't have an air conditioner. Look out for, check up on them, especially if they live alone, and get them out of the heat if you can, and make sure you stay well hydrated, and all those kind of tips for staying safe in the summer when you're outside, whether or not you're exercising. A couple other text messages, if I could. One of them is, I don't think we'll be able to get into too much detail, but this is a person who just wants to know, should I go to the ER? I'm having a difficult time with urination. It's a little bit sore. Could it be an infection? I'll just answer that. If anything's new for you and you're not sure if you're having pain on urination, call your doctor. Or if it's really bad, if you're having fevers, you're having chills, you really can't urinate, it's always acceptable to go to the emergency department. One last thing here from the text line again. It's, have you mentioned pulsed agreements for the benefit of both patients and EMT? So I'll tell listeners what that is, because I'm a big fan of these. Pulsed is a physician's order for life-sustaining treatment. P-O-L-S-T, pulsed. And it's different than an advanced directive. It's not just like, you know, you put in your will, I want to donate my organs, or this is what I want, and this is what I want. This is an actual physician order that you can tape to your refrigerator, where it's a, this is what you want done. And so the emergency responders can see that, and they can follow those as if it's a regular physician orders. It's hard, Nick, when people come into your emergency department and they're in extremis, they're in a rough shape. You often, most of the time, probably don't know what you haven't had a chance to talk to them. So you probably make the decision to resuscitate people unless you know for sure that they don't want that. Correct?
Right, right. Yeah, it is sometimes a difficult place to be in. It's whenever there's a question, we always err on the side of resuscitation and quote unquote aggressive measures, because it's easier to pull back from those after the fact than it is to go back in time and go the other way. But yeah, the pulse is extremely important, both to the 911 emergency medicine system, as well as the emergency medicine docs and nurses. It can mean the difference between a lot of excessive measures when they're really not wanted by the patient themselves. And I think it's incredibly important for patients, families, and their physicians, their providers, to have those discussions ahead of time if those decisions have already been made.
Yeah, and you can get that through your doctor. I hadn't heard about it until the last few years. But people often say, why did the emergency doctors do this? Why did they do CPR? Why did they do all that? I didn't want that. Well, they didn't know that. And I agree with you. Until you've been there in that emergency situation, you got a person whose life is literally minutes on the line. You know, every minute counts. If you're those emergency responders, if you're the doctors, you're probably going to err on the side of trying to save your life. And if that, if you didn't have some kind of very clear orders to the contrary, That's the reasonable thing to do. So consider a pulsed. Thank you for that text message. Well, we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are.
Less than a minute to go. Nick, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been great to be here.
Yeah, love to have you back someday. Dr. Nick Simpson from the Department of Emergency Medicine, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at the University of Minnesota Medical School, has been our guest today. Check matters.org today or any day for podcasts of any shows you missed, for links to cool things, for my ramblings about a variety of things, and in the coming week for some more tips from Dr. Simpson. That's myhealthymatters.org.
See you at the Downtown Farmers Market Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be down there. You need to buy some vegetables, right? You got to eat healthy. Well, come say hi to me. Introduce yourself. Say you listen to the show. I'll be down there with Jane Hess, who is the medical director of our North Loop Clinic.
And next week, what's on the show?
It's an open lines. Get your general health questions about anything that's on your mind and try to see if I know the answer.
Good deal. All right. Thanks very much, doctors. 70 is our Twin City temperature reading, heading for a high this day of 86.